Samuel, chapter number 1 of 1 Samuel, chapter number 1. We have a very special day set aside in our church. I love children. I appreciate mom and daddies that will raise children according to how the Bible teaches to raise our children. The Bible speaks that children's children are a crown to old men. I'm thankful for grandchildren this morning. Wouldn't that have been a blessing if we could have had grandbabies first? Somebody say amen. I mean, we whooped our two for everything. But now we just let the grand young'uns tear the house apart. It don't matter much. I done found out if it don't matter in 100 years, drop it. It ain't worth fooling with it. But here in the Bible, in 1 Samuel, it's one of the greatest Bible messages on a young lady that had no children. Her name was Hannah. Hannah prayed unto the Lord, and God granted her little Samuel. God used Samuel as a prophet to anoint King David. And we find this in the story in 1 Samuel 1. The Bible says that there was a certain man of Ramath-Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, and the son of Zuph, a Euphrathite. I don't know if a man would get all that vernacular down from Bowden or not. Somebody say amen. But he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah. The name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord, the host of Enshiloh, and the two sons of Eli. Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, was there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Phinehas his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion. For he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. She did so year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord. So she provoked her and she wept and did not eat. And Elkanah her husband to her said, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed, and the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou would indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. This came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth or guarded her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart only, and her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken, and Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I've poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for the daughter of Belial, for out of abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hereto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. They rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to the house of Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Before it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I've asked him of the Lord." The man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer the Lord his yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said to her husband, "I will not go up until the child be weaned, and I'll bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever." Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou hast weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word." So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. When she had weaned him, she took him with her, with 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. They slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. You may be seated this morning. Father, we thank you for the goodness of God. We thank you, Lord, of this time of year that we've set aside several days, Lord, to honor you. And we thank you that you've been good to us and that you've sent us your Son at Calvary's cross. Thank you, Lord, for the life of new children in our church and this ministry. I want to be careful to pray for their mom and dads, their grandparents and families this morning. I pray now you take the Word of God and do that only which you, our great God, can do with it this morning. Lord, I'm a needy preacher, and I pray you'd help me to be a blessing to the people of God today. Help us, and we'll be grateful to you and realize to where our help comes from. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen and amen. I want to preach this morning a simple message on Hannah's child. Hannah's child. I thank God that we've got a Bible to read that's still right in this day and in this hour. Now, I want to talk about 4 things to do with Hannah, and I'll be brief in what I do today. But concerning Hannah's child, I want to talk about Hannah's infliction. Secondly, I want to talk about Hannah's intervention. Thirdly, I want to speak on Hannah's investment. But then lastly, I want to close with Hannah's inspiration. Now here in Hannah's infliction, verse 1, you'll notice Hannah's appearance. She's brought into a home where a man has 2 wives. That never works out real good. I believe that God has ordained marriage between a man and a woman. God's not confused about that of marriage in America. God's not confused about marriage in our Bible. And so God promotes marriage between a man and a woman. Now therefore we see Hannah's infliction, we see her appearance. She appears on the pages of the Bible. She's raised in a godly environment. Her husband, Eli, is the priest, and her husband takes his family to Eli, and they offer sacrifices every year for their children. Here we see Hannah's appearance. Then secondly, in verse 5, notice what the Bible says. It's amazing what you find in the Bible if you read it. In Hannah's affliction, not only her appearance, but there was her appointment. The Bible said, "But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb." That lets me know this morning that you that have had children, it was no accident. It was a gift of God. For God gives life. He's the life giver. And God has purposes. God has plans that we know nothing about, nor can we say anything about. So God sets appointments. We will all keep those appointments that God places in our life. And therefore, in Hannah's infliction, we see her appearance and her appointment. But in verse 6, notice her adversary. The Bible said, her adversary also provoked her sore to make her fret. Now, there's no doubt that Peninnah, being the other wife of the husband in the story, no doubt had ridiculed maybe Hannah about her womb being barren. No doubt here, as Hannah had been in the household, that she had looked and it seemed that Peninnah had things that she did not have. And no doubt Peninnah became adversarial. Jealousy broke out in that home. This morning we realize that Hannah had great infliction. Somebody said that if you'd serve God and if you would do the things according to the Word of God, that the Bible would promise you health and wealth and prosperity, but that's not in our Bible. I want to remind you today that God never said that He would keep us from some things, but God assured us that He would go through us in some things. I'm glad we've got a God that don't leave us alone. I'm glad we've got a God that can be very well trusted this morning. The choir sung about the unseen hand of God, but yet, oh, I've seen Him many times in my life and in my walk and in my ministry in our home. I sure am glad we've got a God that's very much interested in the affairs of our life. You know, God being a God that knows everything, I was thinking as the choir began to sing, Brother Tracy and Miss Libby, they become friends of our ministry and church and many acquaintances here. No doubt he's facing big surgeries this week, and you that know the Perrys, there Tracy's been through many things. And I told my wife yesterday, I said, honey, you know, God must have known that Tracy was some more man to be able to take the suffering and the heartache that the providence of God has allowed to fall upon him. This morning, God is very aware of what you and I can take. There's things that I don't understand, but I do know that there is an unseen hand that in God's appointments, He sees all of His children through the heartaches and the struggles of this life. We have a God that proves Himself faithful. I ate the other day. Me and my wife went. We'd been blessed with such meals through the week. We wanted some light oriental food. We went in there, and there I seen their God on the counter. I'm glad you can't put our God in a box this morning. I'm glad you can't measure our God. I'm glad our God is way past our finding out. Our God is faithful to all of His children. This morning, Hannah's infliction, she lived in an environment where she was ridiculed, where there was seems to be that God had forgotten about her. But now, secondly, in Hannah's infliction, we see in verse 10, there's Hannah's intervention. The Bible says that Hannah did something. The Bible said she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept. So I'm glad we've got a God, Brother Lee, that we can go to. I've got some of the greatest friends in my life here today, no doubt. But there's times that you can only take me so far. I sure am glad I've got a God that I can go to in prayer this morning. You see Hannah's intervention. Verse 10, she prayed out. The Bible says she was in bitterness of soul and prayed in the Lord and wept sore. I'd like to say to all of our little children this morning, legislation may have taken prayer out of schools, but honey, it's something they can never take prayer out of our heart. You've got a God that you kneel to in a classroom or a locker room. You've got a God you can pray to in a factory. You've got a God you can pray to in your home. I'm glad we've got a God, and she showed us that she prayed out. This morning, Hannah's intervention, she prayed out. Verse 11, she proclaimed that. Look what she said, and underline this in the Bible. I'll go back to it briefly. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid. Remember me, not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Hannah's intervention, she prayed out, but she proclaimed out. She proclaimed out publicly, Lord, if you'll honor my prayer, I'll bless you for it. Lord, I'm not ashamed to realize that I need you to help me. America, it seems, has got way too much intellect for God. But I'm going to tell you one of the greatest things that you could ever teach your family is that you have a God. Not only could you pray out, but oh, you could speak out about it. Then thirdly, Hannah's intervention, she prayed out, she proclaimed out. But I love this in verse 15, she poured out. The Bible said, and Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I poured out my soul before the Lord. This was intense with this lady. This lady needed God to do something for her. Now, notice that we are a people, when we get God's attention, it's when we pour out our heart unto Him. These lay me down to sleep prayers don't go too far, I'm convinced. But when a man or woman, boy or girl, really prays out, proclaims out, and pours out, I'm glad we've got a God. Hannah's intervention. But thirdly, Hannah's investment. Now, the Lord granted her prayer. Hannah made a great investment in Samuel. She invested in his name. Look in verse 20. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel. That word means inside of God. I want to say that here Hannah made an investment in her child. She invested in her name. I will remind you this morning, there's been a lot of investments in our name. My daddy always taught me and said, Ken, let me tell you something you better learn to protect. You better always protect your name. Can I tell you that we that are named a Christian this morning, that we've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, they were first called Christians in Antioch. And oh, there's been a great investment in our name this morning. Honey, God sent His Son to Calvary. Water can't wash away your sins. A man can't forgive you of your sins. The blood of Calvary can wash away your sin this morning. I'm glad there's been an investment in our name. Thank God I'm a Christian. I wish folks would get as excited about going to church and loving God as they do in the sports arenas. Some of you duck your head and you come in church when somebody raises their hand and shout. I wonder how funny you'd have looked at the Auburn-Alabama game yesterday. They get excited. Hey, let me tell you, I know the end of the story. My name's written down yonder in Glory Land World. I've got something to be excited about this morning. Whoop, hallelujah. Teams here come and go, but honey, eternity comes to stay. Hannah's investment, she invested in His name. She invested in His nurture. Look in verse 21. It meant so much to her. The Bible said that Elkanah and all his house went up to offer the Lord the yearly sacrifices and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said to her husband, I will not go up unto the child be weaned, and I'll bring him that he may appear before the Lord there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou hast weaned him. Only the Lord established his word." So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. Now, Hannah's investment. She invested in the name of her child. She invested in the nurture of her child. She did not abort her child. She did not abandon her child. And she did not abuse her child. She invested in his raising. Thank God for mamas and daddies that have made investment in raising. You know, where I was raised, we didn't have a lot. Me and my wife has got more today than both sets of grandparents and both sets of parents had. And many of you do also. Because God has been good to us. But the families have made great investments in our raising. I was raised to say, "Yes, sir." "No, ma'am." I was raised to show respect to authority. Young people, you won't get shot unless the policeman lets you stop for him. But if you run away and try to get over on him, you're going to get in bad trouble. Respect authority. That's our problem in America. Nobody's involved in child raising. Timeout's not working. My daddy'd take time out. He'd take time out to tear the back porch down, will you? His word meant something to me. I knew where he was standing. And let me tell you, children in America today need stability. They need structure. You ought not abuse your children. You ought to discipline your children and love them. Take care of them. They're nobody else's to raise. You brought them in this world. See about them. And therefore, Hannah's investment, she invested in his name. She invested in his nurture. But she invested in his needs that he needed more than anything else. For the Bible said this, in verse 24, when she had weaned him, watch, she took him with her with three bullocks and an ephah flour and a bottle of wine and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. She didn't send him to church. She brought him to church. And this morning, I believe with all my heart, the investments that Hannah had in Samuel went a long way in his life. Now lastly today, Hannah's infliction. Hannah's intervention, she prayed. Hannah's investment, the Lord gave her a child and she raised him up. But now Hannah's inspiration. Look in verse 27, when she got to the house of God, what she did. First of all, I cannot expound enough on this truth. She brought her child. It's so important that you bring your children. They can't drive. So you must do that which the Lord has entrusted you with. Bring them to the house of God. So here in her inspiration, notice she prayed in verse 27, "For this child I prayed." Young people, aren't you glad you've got parents that have prayed for you? Her inspiration, she prayed, but in verse 27, she praised. "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him." Not only did she pray, but she prayed. When she went to the house of God, she worshipped. And you know simply what she said? "Thank you, Lord." Can I tell you, it's still right in the Bible worship to raise your hand and say, "Thank you, Lord." I realize in our cultures. There's quiet churches, loud churches. I know there's red cars and there's white cars. But let me tell you, all in this Bible, worship affects people. And we should come to the house of God with our hearts in tune to worship. I'm vocal in my worship. You may be silent in yours, but I can tell you what, if some of you would cry a little and let your head leak, it wouldn't swell near as bad. God's been good to me. Has He been good to you? Hannah's inspiration. She prayed, but last I want you to look at this. I told you to look at it. I want you to remember verse 11. Not only did she pray and she praised, but she presented. See Hannah in verse 27, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of Him." You see, Hannah did not forget verse 11. For she made a vow unto the Lord, "I will give him and the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." See, many times we ask the Lord in crises, but when God answers our prayers, we forget a lot about verse 11, what we said to Him before He answered our prayer. Hannah not only presented, but Hannah proved, "Lord, I'm going to serve You." And now as we go in the manner of this service, look what she says in verse 28. "Therefore also I've lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There's none holy as the Lord, for there's none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God." This morning, we